Welcome to the December issue of BBRO Bcast. I'm Francesca Broom, your host and Knowledge Exchange Manager for BBRO. This month, we take a look at agricultural training opportunities, as BBRO have just completed delivery of the Advanced Spaces in Sugar Beet Technology course. It was really interesting to hear the career stories of some of the participants, all of which were supported by their employers to improve their knowledge through continued professional development. But what is available in the way of self-development for growers and small employers in agriculture? Well, surprisingly, there is a lot going on and at varying levels. So if you want to broaden your own horizons or build the knowledge of those around you, there is something for you. Firstly, let's hear from Thomas Vaughan about the accredited programmes offered by BASIS. Welcome along, Thomas.
Thank you.
Hey, Thomas, you are the Commercial Manager in Environmental Lead for BASIS.
That's correct, yes.
Lovely. I'm pleased that you've joined us to talk a little bit about the background of BASIS. And I understand BASIS actually started as a charity.
That's right, yeah. BASIS Registration Limited is a charity, and that started in 1978. And from there, it tried to set a standard for training and professional development in agriculture, environmental management, and the amenity sector. Very early on in its days, it created the Certificate in Crop Protection in IPM, and that was in 1981. And so since then, BASIS has continued to work closely with the industry and regulatory bodies to boost professional standards. And then from the 1990s onwards, we've also created what we call professional registers. Agronomists collecting CPD points, but we've also got FACs, so those that are in fertilizer advice or plant nutrition advice, there's a register for them. And then we've since expanded. So there is an amenity register, there's one linked to environmental advice as well. And then we've gone beyond that into other sectors as well. So we're also involved in pest control. But it all stems back to why we were created in the first place. And that was to support the industry in building skills and improving knowledge.
What was actually in position before 1978? I mean, was there just free-for-all for use of products?
I think there may have been some incidents, mainly to do with chemical stores prior to that. And so the industry felt that they ought to be more self-regulated, and that's where BASIS came in.
You've got thousands of members now that joined BASIS.
That's right.
As a member, what do they get?
Good question. We'll start with the fundamental basic of the Certificate in Crop Protection. So if you take that certificate, one of our original ones, it means that a ticker statutory box, because you have to have that qualification in order to advise on plant protection products. And then there's the FACS qualification, which I believe isn't a statutory requirement. However, it is required for the Red Tractor Scheme, but also for government actions. So if we talk about things such as the SFI, if it's still around when this podcast is published, you have the nutrient management planning, and that does have to be signed off by a FACS advisor.
Also, as a farm advisor, a grower, farmer would love to know that the person that's standing in front of them has the most up-to-date knowledge. And I understand that with BASIS, it's not just the qualification, there is the ongoing support, isn't there?
Absolutely. So that's the second part. So it's not just that you've gained a qualification and that's that.
It's not just about collecting the points, it's about collecting knowledge, isn't it?
Exactly. So, yes, the points is the metric of how that is measured. But really, it should all be about knowledge transfer. We know last year that there was over 4,300 events that took place, which were then awarded points.
We have just recently finished our advanced BASIS course in Sugar Beet. And I understand there's quite a few advanced courses available for those wanting to really improve their knowledge. So what else do you run at that level?
Our advanced modules are level 6 modules. They are designed for those that already have the BASIS certificate in crop protection or FACS. and then you can take these, what we call advanced modules, in particular subject or crop areas. So obviously with yourselves, it's sugar beet, but there's also cereals, field veg, potatoes, grassland. There's also a quality of soils as well, and also managing waste too. So what these advanced modules do is they able to boost your expertise in a specific area.
Most of your advanced courses are 5 to 6 days, aren't they? Mm.
That's a great question. So that is quite common, about 5 to 6 days, usually in person. And then obviously there's then a bit of a gap, and then for time to revise and prepare for an exam. That's similar for FACTS. That's similar for some of our environmental courses, such as the Certificate in Sustainable Land Management. Basis Certificate in Crop Protection is slightly different. Again, it depends on the trainer, but that's roughly 30 days of in-person training, but it's spread over the agricultural calendar.
BASIS itself is actually the accreditating board, isn't it? So right. You just oversee it to make sure that it's of the correct standard, don't you?
Yes. I need to mention Harper Adams University. Harper accredits our courses. So that means that our courses are delivered to their university standard. There's trainers all across the country, different universities, but there's also independent consultants that train as well.
Well, then that's where we come in with BRO, because we have set ourselves up as a training body just to deliver the advanced basis course through you. And it's been exceptionally well received. We were oversubscribed again this year, and I've already got a waiting list for next. So, we don't advertise it very widely because people tend to come to us. But hopefully we'll catch up with the backlog at some point. Along with your full accredited programmes, you've also got the Basis Classroom, which is a sort of separate business. Do you want to just explain a bit about that?
Yeah, so the Basis Classroom is a commercial wing of ours, because obviously as a charity, it's all about being sustainable as well. But it ties in with our charitable aims. So when we develop digital courses, all of those courses are accessible for those on the Basis Professional Register. There's a plethora of courses on the what we call the Basis Classroom, from plant protection to aspects of horticulture, quality of soils, environmental courses. We even have one on there all about peat protection. And then alongside that, we also work with external bodies as well. They sponsor the development of courses, because as you can imagine, making a course is a financial challenge as well.
I've noticed now and again you'll offer free courses for people that are not Basis qualified.
Yes, that's right. So the Basis Classroom, it is of benefit to members, but also we sell them separately. So you don't have to be a Basis member to access some of this learning. But as you mentioned, we've also delivered courses free at the point of access. We've got over 11,000 users of the Basis Classroom. There's more than 50 courses you complete. So every year there's about 15 to 20 new courses being released. And we know that last year, you know, over 14,000 courses were actually completed as well.
So it's a great overview of Basis and what's available to our growers and farmers out there. So thank you ever so much for your time, Thomas.
Thank you for having me.
Moving on from accredited programmes, I'm very pleased to introduce Stephen Jacob, the Chief Executive of TIA, the Institute of Agriculture and Horticulture. Welcome along to BCAR, Stephen.
Hello there. Thank you very much for inviting me.
We met a couple of years ago just as TIA was starting, and it's very exciting the way that the organisation has grown and the impact you're having. So just tell us a little bit of the background of TIA.
Certainly. So the Institute of Agriculture and Horticulture, or TIA as we know it, we came about from the industry, effectively. The industry got together and said, how do we try to help defragment some of the training activity in the industry? How do we help to get status and recognition for professionalism with farmers and growers? So TIA was born. I'm very pleased to say that we were established with some funding from DEFRA, which has been incredibly helpful to get us started. And effectively, we're here to help address some of the labour problems and to see if we can encourage farmers and growers to have that sort of habit of lifelong learning. It's something that we probably all do, but we don't always record. But we do know that people who train and upskill themselves regularly have far more profitable and productive farming businesses.
Often people do forget that they've done training courses, don't they? You know, you put perhaps the important things down on a future CV, but you forget all the little bits and pieces. And I understand that your system, you can actually collate that for people.
Yes, a lot of the investment over the past few years has been developing our online system, and we are a digital first organisation, unashamedly so. That's the way that people are predominantly learning now, and they will be in the future. I think there's still very much a place for peer-to-peer learning, and we support that, and we can help people record that activity. But we have an online service which we effectively host our own essential skills training, and I can talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but they're some of the basics I feel that the industry really needs. We can signpost off to other training providers. We have a really good training provider map where you can find local training to you. If you're looking for forklift training, low loader, chainsaw, whatever it might be, you can find it through our map. And also with learning pathways as well, we'll actually signpost off to other training providers, the awarding bodies, such as City and Guilds, Lantra and Basis. And part of that online service that we have is that you can record your activity.
As an organisation, it's not just trying to keep the tabs of those already in the industry. You do an awful lot for potential new entrants, don't you?
We do. This is really close to my heart. We work with the land-based colleges and the universities. We've just this week actually launched 6 modules with the Agricultural University Council, which are called Farming Matters, for undergrads to effectively to demystify some of the industry, the technology, some of the acronyms that we have, some of the policies that we work to, and see how it fits in with society as well. And that's been a lovely project to work on. It's been a really, really good collaboration. But we also work with other government departments, such as the Department for Work and Pensions. How do their careers advisors know what wonderful opportunities we've got? So we provided resources for them to illustrate the jobs that are available. We worked with the armed forces as well. We've just this, well, last week, actually, we got the Bronze Award for the Military Covenant. And of course, that there are other groups as well. Parents, quite often they're the blocker when somebody's thinking about coming into agriculture.
I've often found that when I've been promoting agriculture in the past, the moment you start to say how much a tractor driver can earn, you suddenly see the eyes pop and an interest. I don't think people realise the skills that are required and that there is a decent salary to be had in agriculture.
And I think also the fact is that we will employ you. We do have vacancies and we have some, I mean, again, if I was starting my career again, I can't think of any more exciting to be. The technology, the genetics that are coming into our industry are changing very rapidly. And I think the limit is actually the skills. How do we convert that? How do we manage the data? How do we actually get the best out of the technology that's coming into our farming businesses? So there's that constant need to upskill. But certainly for those great young minds that are coming in, very exciting.
You mentioned earlier your fundamental entry level courses.
Yes.
What are you actually looking to deliver there?
So there's several areas which I believe that everybody who's working in a farmed environment should really have a good grip of. And that's farm safety or health and safety. It's not just something that we should do at college and then forget when we get onto a farm. It's something that we should refresh every year. And I hope that would go some way to reducing some of the accidents and fatalities we're having on farm businesses, but also reduce the costs as well. If we're not having accidents, we're not having to repair things. Biosecurity, so important. And I think everybody should have that sort of fundamental biosecurity training. For those working in arable livestock systems, animal health and welfare.
And you say they're in their fundamental level, but how long is a course?
Essential skills modules are really quite short. They're anything from sort of 30 minutes to an hour maximum. You can stop and start them whenever you wish. They're available 24 hours, 7 days a week. So you can do them in the comfort of your own home or the farm office, or you can sit on the sofa and run through them on your phone if you like. The team at TIA are fantastic at putting together these modules. They really do get into the subject. And we work with the very best subject matter experts. So, for example, if we're talking about health and safety, we work with a health and safety executive to make sure the content is correct. If we're working and thinking about nutrient management, we work with Natural England, DEFRA, AIC, NFU. We make sure we've got all the right people around the table.
We want to encourage people to go on. So what would be the next step?
We'll have a look at interpersonal skills because we believe that farm businesses need to understand how to manage their team. You might only recruit someone once every 10 years. Again, how do you get the information about how to do that? So we've got lots on interpersonal skills and recruitment. We've got quite a lot on farm finances and business management, but we signpost on to other trainings. So the really good example I can give you is we've got 6 nutrient management modules. I think they're fantastic. I also think they're fantastic pre-FACTS training. So FACTS, for people who aren't aware, is the qualification that's required for advisors who are selling or give them advice on fertiliser. So that's a good example of how we can signpost and provide people with knowledge before they go into a more considered course.
Is there a cost for people to sign up and access?
We've got so students free of charge, and that's quite deliberate. We want to engage with the next generation. We see them very much as our future as well. And then if you're a farmer or a grower, it's £12 a month effectively. And for that, as you say, you've got this ability to be able to store all of your certificates of training. You've got access to probably over £2,500 worth of online resources and training already. And that's growing all the time. That's going to keep on growing. So I think it's really quite good value. If you employ several people within your business, again, talk to us and we can probably come up with a sort of farm package. The most important thing we want is we want to get as many people engaged as we can, because it's not just about doing the training, it's also about getting that professional recognition.
It's certainly been quite exciting to watch the growth of TIER over the last couple of years, and we wish you all the best for the future.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me onto the podcast.
Thank you.
We've covered accredited programmes, supported learning, but what of the more informal type? An awful lot can be gained through the sharing of experiences. And next we meet with John Barrett and Susie Emmett at the AF Group headquarters in Honingham to discuss one of their schemes and how it aims to open eyes and doors.
Of course, when you're talking about opportunities in farming, it's not just about accreditation and courses. That's great if you know where you want to go with your career. But there's also opportunities elsewhere within companies. And I'm very pleased to be joined here at AF Group with John Barrett, who's the Chief Agricultural Officer. John, what kind of career paths are you looking for in your staff?
So we're looking for people to have that background knowledge. That's really important, that when they're engaging with our members, that they understand what the member is going through on the farm and understands their challenges, but also has those professional qualifications behind them. So we're looking to support our team with professional qualifications within the group.
I know you've had some staff in that with perhaps without agricultural knowledge. You look at rural community and train them from grassroots?
So within the wider team of AF, because we're procuring all sorts for farmers, whether it be fuel, electricity, building materials, hiring tractors, not just the crop inputs. So it's important we get people with that wide range of skills that understand different businesses, not just those crop inputs.
So that's great. It's a really good opportunity, particularly for young people to get involved that, you know, perhaps want to do something linked to agriculture but are not quite sure where they're going. And AF is one of those companies that offer chances to broaden the horizons. And that leads me on to my second guest here, which is Susie Emmett, Communications Specialist, and actually the lead of Fresh AF.
Yeah, that sounds like I've got probably fresh by name, fresh by nature. But Fresh AF is something that AF started a couple of years ago, looking at the members that we have and a lot of younger people coming into the members' businesses. There's 3,000 members and their businesses across the country. You do see younger people coming in as either in succession, if they're family businesses, or younger people growing their skill set and taking on responsibility for certain inputs. But do they get what a cooperative is, cooperative values, and are they getting the chance to get inside other businesses and meet business leaders that are truly inspirational? So we started Fresh AF 2 years ago with a cohort, and we just coming to the end of our second year. And the idea is that we take them and a proportion of our colleagues here at AF, the younger ones, the fresher ones, and take them to some amazing places to meet some amazing people.
And that's such a great opportunity, because we've got a lot of newcomers to farming or those now taking on the farm that are struggling to know where to go next. And by opening the horizons, open their eyes to new opportunities, it also makes them think perhaps a little bit wider of where their own farm could go.
I think so, and I think that getting inspiration is very often it's an idea that you can make a take, think I could do that, but often, you know, you're going to look with Fresh AF, another business, another commodity, another type of trade, but there will still be something that you can draw from that and think, I like the way they talk about their team, or I can see what they do with their machinery, or I like the way they flipped this and thought, instead of producing, how are we going to create a market, and then how do we be the best at producing for it? So all of those ways, build your skill set so that you can you feel more able to bring something to a business or actually cope with the challenges that businesses have got at the moment.
So over the last 2 years, what kind of activities have you taken part in?
I'm just going to talk about this year, because this year's been just fabulous. The first bunch, first gathering, we brought them here to AFHQ, and as well as getting to see all the procurement activity, one of the things they got to do was with the University of East Anglia to look at our new system for benchmarking fertiliser buying. And that's where you look underneath all the stats as to who gets the best price by buying how, so you can benchmark how you're doing. And that for them was interesting, because it starts to think about how can we learn from what others are doing in the sector. So that was all about fertiliser. The next one, which went off to Lincolnshire, to Dyson Farming and Dyson Research, and by the young team there was shown every single dimension of the business, circular agriculture, from production to processing, and we even got a sneak peek at the extremely snazzy new strawberry production. But it's a very young team that is encouraged to experiment, to innovate. Okay, we did Lincolnshire. Next trip, whoosh, up to Leeds, to Arla. Now, Arla is a cooperative, so it's kind of one in, is a relative of ours. Scale of it is unbelievable. And we were there in the week when they were negotiating and joining with a German cooperative and almost doubling in size. But what happened there was that we were introduced to the way that that cooperative, which is, they call their members their owners, is financing the investment in innovating to create new products for fresh milk, sports nutrition, the companion foods that are going to be useful with weight loss drug use. And they even explained how they found some tiny crystals left in the in a vat. It's a bit like Alexander Fleming and penicillin. Some little crystals left in a vat after they'd been doing something else at their research place in Wales. And these little crystals, they've discovered, are an hitherto unknown milk protein that can be a carrier for pharmaceuticals in tiny babies or the very ill.
Amazing the amount of work that's going on.
Yeah, but it all comes back to securing the value for fresh milk.
And also, Susie, a lot of this is communication, because a lot of people, they're very insular in the way that they look at the farm, they look at their products. Are you trying to get people to increase their own marketing, their own promote their own businesses?
It's interesting you say that, because another thing we've started is called Taste AF, which is promoting
members who are producing, whether it be wine, cheese, food products for the final market, it could be olives. So actually helping them to take that next step, a little bit like Susie was talking about with Arla, looking for those, where, how can we add value to what we're doing? And maybe by, in the Arla example, it's working together. And maybe we as a cooperative can help those guys work together to add value to what they're producing.
And I think that being nervous about being shot down for saying something, for example, when we as AF publicise our visit to Arla, then we get stuff on social media, you know, anti-dairy production, things like that. But we have to be honest, this is the society we're living in. So it's very important for every farming business to feel that they've well, to know what the story is they've got to tell, and then to look at how they can tell it, either face-to-face or online or whatever it is.
And it's not just it's adding value to the product, but it's also having a pride in the industry in which we all work, isn't it?
Definitely. You know, we've got a fantastic industry. We're crucial to the economy of the UK. So let's go out there and produce it.
So obviously Fresh AF is only one of a number of different organisations, you know, trying to work and trying to bolster the opportunities for young people. But John first, if you were starting out now in farming, what do you think you'd want to be telling your young self?
Crikey, Jez, it was a long time ago. I've got to try and remember. It was very much take any opportunity that sits in front of you. You know, these opportunities are out there, but actually just go and grasp them. And it might be tough, and you've got lots, as you're growing up, lots of decisions, lots of pulls in life, but try and take any opportunities that you can see in front of you.
I think being curious is so important, and a bit like John said about opportunity, is having a curious mind and always thinking, how does that work? And who does that? And how did it? What's their story? And that's the thing that's driven my career. It's so easy now to listen to stories, to listen to businesses. We have, like this podcast, people could be listening now while they're driving a tractor, or maybe it's the middle of the night, or they're in a truck going to pick something up. It's so easy for us now to tune into things. And I think that combination of taking opportunities and meeting people face to face, but also being curious for everything that's available.
Yeah, well, I hope that our listeners will continue to listen to the BCast, but I would certainly recommend, like you've said, to get out there, to join other groups, take the opportunities, and face-to-face meetings is, I think, paramount to the future of agriculture. So thank you both very much for your time.
And Fresh AF is looking for the next cohort for 26. So go on the af.farm website and register your interest if you are interested. And then we'll let you know when applications are invited.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jess.
With it being December, many of you will spend time reflecting on the past year. And whilst looking back is important, planning ahead is essential. So do take that time to think how the wider industry could support you. Maybe a course, in-field events, organised trips, discussion groups, or even a good old-fashioned mardle with a friend and a pint. Whatever works for you, grab the opportunity and grow. And on behalf of all of the BBRO team, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Thank you for listening.